the Lord. Hallelujah. Good just to rejoice, isn't it? Be glad in the Lord. Is there something great about that? Coming together and giving praise. God just anoints at praise time. You know, the songs, sad to say, that they think that they often view, they say, well, it's only the chorus, it's only the singing. Oh, friends, that's when we draw close to the throne of God. When we come and praise, praise ascends. And guess what the scripture says, that God inhabits the praises of his people. Does it ever count the worship time, the praise time, as just something that we fill out a service with? You know, people often say, and it's right, we come to the Word of God, and that's the important part of our service where we listen. But it's just as important that we come and praise, and we come and worship. Hallelujah. And I want to speak a little bit about that this morning, and just share, continue with the theme of studies I've been doing in the fullness of the blessing. And we've been looking at some things from the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis 1, 2 and 3. I want to share this morning on the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. Something the Bible tells us in Genesis 2 about the Garden of Eden is that it was watered by a mist. It says in chapter 2, let's start at verse 14, verse 4, sorry, and finish at verse 14. It talks in this reading about a mist that came up from the earth and watered the ground, and then it goes on and talks about four rivers that flowed out of Eden. So Genesis 2 verse 4 says this: this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the heavens, the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, or the Tigris. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Amen. Now, we read there that before it ever rained on the earth. I got up this morning, went out to get the car out of the garage ready to come to the service this morning. And as I went out there, I went out into what was then just a very light rain in the air. And as I stepped out of the house, it felt so fresh and it was so refreshing. It's been so hot over the last couple of days, and just had that misty rain, that's all it was, the first thing this morning. It was just so refreshing and so pleasant to be out in it. I just took one deep breath and thought, oh, that's so good. How good God is, that he sends this stuff to refresh the land. Said in the scripture there that a mist came up from the earth, because it hadn't rained yet, God hadn't sent the rain, and it watered and refreshed the land. It caused the plants and the vegetation to grow. Gave them their food and their nutrients that they needed. But then it went on later in that chapter, not so much thinking about the middle part of the reading we had, but really about these last few verses, from verse 10, 3 to 14. It talks about four rivers that went out of Eden. Now, it names these rivers and gives them their names, and it says the first is Pishon. And that river, or the name of that river, means to increase and disperse and spread abroad. And it tells us in the Bible there that that circle or encompassed the whole land of Havilah, which is up in the northeast of Asia Minor. So the river went from, if you know about rivers, they flow from into the sea. They don't flow from the sea, they flow into the sea. So mouth is at the sea in the sort of Persian Gulf, that area, through what is now Iraq, and Kuwait, that sort of area of the world. And it flows from Asia Minor all the way down to the sea there. The next river it mentions, the second river, is the river Gihon. And that word Gihon means literally to gush forth. And I would guess by the, because of the name, it was a powerful river. Something that was moving quite quickly. And that, it tells us in the scriptures, that circled the land of Cush. And that's according to a lot of the commentators and people, it's the regions around the South Nile and Ethiopia. So that would flow from Africa. I don't know quite how it managed, but maybe there wasn't. It must have gone up, so I don't know quite how it worked and got to the Persian Gulf there, but that's where that one is said to originate from, Ethiopia, that area. Then we have two very well-known rivers in the scriptures. The Hiddekel, or to give it its name that we know it today, is the Tigris. And that means to rapidly flow. A fast flowing river. And that went out towards the east of Assyria. And then finally the great river Euphrates, which is very well documented in scripture. And that means to break forth into fruitfulness. So these four rivers went out of Eden, increasing and dispersing and spreading abroad, as the river Pishon did. Got you forth, as the Gihon did, flowing rapidly, as the Hiddekel, and break you forth into fruitfulness, as the Euphrates. Now, I'm interested in that word break forth there, because twice in those meanings of those rivers we have that term, to gush forth or to break forth. And break forth to me always talks about joy. Actually, the scripture says in Isaiah 52 and verse 9, it says, break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. You know, break forth into joy. You know, wherever the river goes, there's life and there's joy. And we see that quite frequently through the scriptures. You know, these rivers in Eden brought joy to the land. They refreshed the land. They brought a much needed physical refreshment. You know, and the river of God brings much needed spiritual refreshment to our beings. We read this not that long ago in one of our Bible studies, I'm sure we did. In Psalm 65, we read an interesting few scriptures here. I just want you to look at this. Whether we get through this message or not this morning, it's going to go as the Lord leads us. But in Psalm 65 verse 9 it says this. It says, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. Just listen to the rest of the few verses in this psalm. It says the river of God is full of water. Then it goes on in verse 10, says, you water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. You know, wherever the river goes, it brings rejoicing and joy. It causes people to burst forth into song and to sing and rejoice. You know, God promises this in Isaiah. He says, "Because I'm going to open rivers in the desolate places. I'm going to cause fountains to be in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and dry land springs of water." Do you know what a spring of water is? It's the beginning of a great river. A spring of water is the source of the river. And God said, "I'm going to make the dry land like a river. Rivers in the desert." We sing that in that song, don't we? Quoting Isaiah. You know, that God will make a way where there is no way. He will cause the rivers to flow through the desert. Another scripture in Isaiah puts it like this. In Isaiah 58 says this: "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." You know, wherever the river flows, it brings life and it brings joy. Because when you've got life, you've got joy. You can have joy. What should I say like this? You can have life without joy, but you can't have joy without life. People have a life and they're not really joyful. They say, "Well, but don't you ever confuse joy and happiness, because happiness and joy are two different things. You can be unhappy about a situation, but be really joyful on the inside." You know, the Bible says that of Jesus. It says that he was, and I don't think for 1 minute that he was ever happy about the cross. You know, because he prayed in the garden, "If it's possible, that this would pass from him." You know, you just imagine that moment in the garden where Jesus is on his knees, crying out to his Father, "Father, if there's any other way, let it be." He wasn't happy about facing the cross, but the Bible says he did it joyfully. He did it with joy, because he knew what it would accomplish. He knew what his death on the cross would accomplish, not just then, but for all of eternity. The Bible says this in Philippians. It says, "Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Who for the joy that was set before him? You know, he wasn't happy about it, but he did it with joy. And you can be joyful and still be unhappy in a situation. You may not be happy about the way you're being treated, about a circumstance you're in. But if you've got joy, that will burst forth. That will bring new life, because springs of joy produce rivers. The river of blessing, the river of God will flow. I want to read you a great promise in the scriptures, and this has been such a blessing to me for as long as I can remember. The two verses I'm going to read to you now really first had an impact on my life. I can't think of the exact date of hand, but one thing I can remember is I was being baptized in water somewhere around the late 70s. It was,
you were eight.
I was eight then, so that would have made me 75, somewhere around there. I was being baptized in water anyway. And I'd given a testimony, as we did in the church. And I was taken down into the water. I went down, baptized, And I came up out of the water, and all I could hear was these words in my ears. I couldn't see who was reading it, although I knew it wasn't because I knew her voice. Somebody very close to me. And I knew the voice, I recognised the voice as she read these words from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 7, and this was my grandmother reading. And she read these words, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." You know, this morning I want to tie up that trusting God with joy. Because the man who's joyful, the man who is a woman, who is a person of joy and praise, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fullness of joy, will be like this man that the Bible here, Jeremiah the prophet, spoke of. He says he's going to be like a tree that's planted beside the river. The river of God that flows. You know, the tree that's planted beside the river is a tree that is continually green, continually yielding fruit, even when in the midst of drought and barren times, will continue to be green, will continue to be fruitful, because it's taking its source, it's taking its life from the river of God. You know, it is possible that our natural rivers dry up in hot weather. And you only have to look at some of the pictures from some places like Africa. You know, in the dry season, when some of these animal documentaries that they have on the telly, and you see that the riverbeds are so dry and the watering holes are empty until the first rains come. But you can never run dry when you're tapping into the river of God. You know, it's a river that's permanently flowing from the throne. And the man who's trusted in the Lord is likened to a tree planted beside that river that draws its life source through its roots, taps into the waters of that river. And even though there may not have been a rainfall, even though there may not have been times of other blessings, you continue to stay green and fruitful because you're tapped into the river. Peter preached and told his listeners to wait on God. To wait in God's presence. Well, he told them to repent first and be converted and have their sins blown there. But then he says about waiting in the presence of God for times of refreshing that come from God's presence. Times of refreshing. Times of great joy that come from his presence. Jesus promised this. He says that the things that he's spoken to his disciples, the things that he taught them only so that they might know his joy. That my joy might remain in you, he says, and that your joy may be full. Do you know God's purpose for us to have the fullness of joy? The fullness of joy. You know, we could just talk about joy and talk about rejoicing. But God wants us to have the fullness of joy. In other words, so that we have so much joy that it, like a well inside that bubbles up and bubbles out and springs over and bursts forth. Psalmist says, and we quote it often, that in his presence, in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is the fullness. You know what we come in? Love, we've done this morning, we've come, we've praised, and we've rejoiced and worshipped and got excited about God. We're in his presence. And in his presence is the fullness of joy. Actually, the scripture goes on in the Psalms and says, "And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You know, that came from a man who knew what it was to spend time in God's presence. A young man looking after his father's sheep. A young man that was a skilled musician. A young man that, as he watched over the flock, as he sat there, you know, I don't know what else he would have done. I don't know what, perhaps it's not quite the same as farming today. Maybe he was just sitting in the field looking at the sheep, keeping his eye on, making sure no animal, no wolf or bear came or lion to snatch them and take them away. There are probably great periods of time in his life where there was just nothing to do but rest in the field and just keep his eye on the sheep. And that young man, he knew what it was. You could tell he knew what it was to spend time in God's presence because of the psalms that he wrote. One of those great psalms, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. This is exactly what he was doing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, that man knew what it was to spend time in God's presence. He only could write such words that in his presence is fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. Another psalm puts it like this in Psalm 87, verse 7. It says, the singers as well as the players on instruments shall say, all my springs are in you. All my springs are in you. Well, the Amplified puts it like this, all my sources of life and joy are in you. I'm going to finish this morning with just a couple of other thoughts on the fullness of joy. Our springs of joy are in God. Springs become rivers. And Ezekiel portrays a vivid account in Ezekiel 47 of the river that's flowing from God, flows from the throne, flows under the threshold of the temple. And it says that the prophet saw that river and he began to walk into the river, began to wade into the river. And he measured so many cubits, says, and the river came up to his ankles. You know the scripture, and then it says it measured another 1,000 cubits, and it came up to his knees, and then another came up to his waist, and then it came up. And then it says, finally it says it became a river in which he could not stand, only that he could swim. What a vivid account of the fullness of joy. You know, if you want the fullness of joy, you've got to be able to swim in the things of God, swim in the river. In order to enjoy the fullness, you have to be able to swim. You don't get it just by dipping your toe in. You don't get it by just paddling around. You don't get it by just splashing around in. Yeah, that's fun and you enjoy that, but if you really want to have the benefits, you've got to get in and swim. You've got to get right into the things of God. That's where the fullness of joy is. Oh, it's nice to, on a cool day, just to sit and dangle your toes in and just let the cool waters ripple over your feet. That's nice, that's lovely. But it's so much better to get in up to your neck and swim. You know, I don't often do it because it's normally too cold around here, but I like to get into the sea. You know, it takes me a while to get in, you know, I need to be up to my ankles. You know, just allow the waves to come in and brush over my feet. If I'm getting really daring, I'm not going up to my knees. But if it's really good, I'll be out. And it takes a while to get because it's so cold, and then you've got to get acclimatized to the temperature. Unless you're in some, you know, nice, hot, sunny land. But it's just good to swim in the sea, just to enjoy the fullness of the ocean. You know, just get into the river. I want to finish with this scripture in Isaiah 61. It's a very well-known chapter. And this is a great chapter. You know, we don't often look at it like this. This is a great chapter of praise. Jesus quoted at the beginning of this chapter, as you'll know, in his sermon in Nazareth, and he stood up to preach. Because Isaiah 61 begins The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. Don't we know that portion? Because we read it in Luke 4. You know, Jesus quoted it, and he's often preached that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, there's an anointing there for ministry, and I don't want to preach on an anointing for ministry this morning, because it says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to do something. There's always a two where God's Spirit is concerned. It's not so we can wear the badge and say we've got it and we've achieved and we've arrived. It's so that we might do something. That's why God anoints us. It's an anointing for service, an anointing for ministry. But here it goes, part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, according to verse 3, is this. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called what? Trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, planted by the river, planted beside the, where the fullness of the blessing is flowing. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Isaiah, he begins this great chapter with those words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he ends it with a great high note of praise. And just listen to these words. It says, I will greatly rejoice, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments. And as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth. There's that word again, spring forth. So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now as I begin, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God has anointed me. You know, the blessing of God is upon me. And he ends, I'm going to greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful. Now we were encouraged a few weeks back, when a brother Nigel came to us. He preached on putting joy into your life. You know, we should be joyful people. Appraising people. You know, the fullness of joy is part of God's planned blessing. It was part of the blessing of Eden. It's joy is certainly going to be part of the blessing of heaven. There's going to be joy in heaven. Well, the Bible says there's joy in heaven amongst the angels. But when one sinner comes home, and if the angels have got something to rejoice about, how much more than it is. The people of God, just read some of those chapters in Revelation, which talks about the redeemed of the Lord singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's redeemed us from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Oh, we've got something to be joyful in this morning, folks. We've got something to praise God for. Yeah, part of the ministry this way is to give us joy instead of sorrow. Praise to lift that burden of heaviness. And God's people of praise are trees of righteousness planted beside the river. You know, those four rivers went out of Eden to water the land. And the river of God's available for us this morning. If we just jump in and receive from God. In a part of the fullness of the blessing, it's the fullness of joy. Folks, let's start to get joyful in what God's doing. I know we're praising people, we like to praise in this church. You know, we like to sing, we like to rejoice, but it's not just kept for Sunday. You know, when you wake up in the morning, Sunday wants to put up this, and you know the scripture, you know that this is the day the Lord has made. You know, as you get out of bed on a Monday morning, you may not want to go to work. You may not feel like you've got to go to calling, or you've got to get out in the cold. This is the day the Lord has made. That's not a Sunday scripture. That's a Monday morning scripture as well. That's a Wednesday morning scripture. That's a Friday night scripture. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in him. Oh, I love that confession. And this, or if we could make that every day of the week. I will rejoice. So what Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. You know that word greatly there? It means exceedingly. But actually in the root, it means speedily. You know, we should be speedily, quickly, quick to rejoice in what God's doing. We're very quick to complain, but let's be a joyful people. It's quick to rejoice when we hear what God's doing. Yes, amen. Praise God for what he's doing. You know, let's be quick to rejoice, to give him praise. Amen.